You're listening
to Welcome to Comics, episode number 298. This week, we talk about NovaCore. Visit WelcomeToComics.com. Hear past episodes. See what we're reading next. Or send us feedback. This show is supported by listeners like you. Access bonus episodes by becoming a patron today at patreon.com/WelcomeToComics. And now, the cast begins.
I mean, San Diego Comic-Con happened. Did you guys see any of the stuff from there?
Yes. Oh, my God. I didn't think I could be more hyped for... I mean, you guys probably saw my Facebook post. Mm-hmm. I could not be more hyped for Thor Ragnarok than I...
Yes.
...than I am. Like they showed the shot of Executioner in the first, teaser of him shooting, but Carl Urban was making, a grimace face, so I couldn't tell it was him. But then in the new trailer, there's a shot of him standing next to Hela. And it's clearly Carl Urban.
Yeah.
And man, I was just it's like a dream come true. I was so, so happy.
You know, it's weird. There are some people that, when they get really popular and get in everything, I'm kind of, burned out on them. Chris Hardwick. I like Chris Hardwick, and I really like the Nerdist podcast, but I'm kind of burned out on you, Chris. But I don't know why. I mean, he does a really good job. His podcast is really good. He's a good host. You know, I don't have a legitimate reason for being burned out on him when I'm, not burned out on Carl Urban at all. We were watching Star Trek Beyond, and I'm like, that is a fantastic Bones.
Well, here's the thing I think with Carl Urban. He's been in a lot of stuff lately, but I think before he was one of those characters where... he would come, or one of those actors where he would come up in the conversations about stuff. People would be like, oh, you know who would be great in this? Carl Urban. But then he was never that character. He mm-hmm. wouldn't get the role. And now I think people figured it out. And so now he's starting to get roles, which I think is awesome.
Yeah, Star Trek, Dread. Oh my God, yes, Almost Human, the TV show that was one season. Almost Human is so fucking good.
Oh, I loved Almost Human. I was so sad when it went away.
Oh, man, that was such a good show. It ticks all my boxes, robotics, AI, futuristic dystopia. It ticks every box of shit I love, and I was so pissed when it was gone.
Yeah, and, I think it just went away because
he was in Riddick?
Not enough people watched it. I mean, I don't really know.
Was he in Riddick?
He was in Riddick.
I don't remember him in that.
Oh, he was in the second. He was in the second Riddick movie.
Yeah, well, he was in the one just called Riddick.
Was he?
Yeah, apparently it's on his IMDb page.
Okay.
I don't know the character name. Cast?
I think he was in Chronicles of Riddick too. He was one of the Necromongers.
He's Vako.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah, he is. Yeah, Chronicles of Riddick. There it is. Yeah, the Lord of the Rings.
Éomer?
Yeah.
He was Éomer?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
He has some super legit nerd cred.
I am really bad at Carl Urban, apparently.
Well, I think he can, if they give him the right, makeup, he can hide pretty well.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
I appreciate these guys who I know legitimately are nerds are getting parts that I'm sure they are loving the shit out of playing. I can tell Carl Urban is a nerdy guy, but then John Boyega, I love that he is in Star Wars because he fucking loves that he is in Star Wars. And I love that he's going to be in Pacific Rim 2 because you can tell he's just a nerdy motherfucker. That's going
to
be so great.
I'm so excited for that too. Not only does he get to use his true British accent,
yes,
but he also has the Stacker Pentecost mustache.
Yes, he does. You and I are extra. And did you see at Comic-Con, Bandai did a, their Bandai booth had a whole line of Pacific Rim 2 Jaegers?
Yes.
In the figure arts line? Oh man, it's gonna be fucking sick.
Yeah. I'm gonna be, buying a lot of, even after they showed the first teaser, I went on eBay and I was like, you know, I never got around to buying any action figures. So, you know, I'm, you know, this is a good reason as any for me to buy some now,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, it'd be awesome if they, like, reissue some of the older stuff, like the Cherno Alpha and the Crimson Typhoon and all that shit.
Man, I'm so excited.
The last guy that I appreciate and I'm coming to think is nerdier than I realized at first is Jason Momoa. Based on his casting choices, like what he's chosen to work with. And I know, you know, he's probably typecast and he only gets a choice of roles, but, like, I remember him from fucking Stargate Atlantis, and now he's going to be Aquaman. Which, by the way, immediate crossover.
Yeah.
Like, started his career in Atlantis, and now he's the king of Atlantis.
You know, yeah, you know,
like, Scorpion King is in there? All kinds of crazy shit. Not Scorpion King. What else has he done? There's a like, you can tell he's a nerdy guy. I think.
Jason Momoa? Well, yes. He's Khal Drogo.
Yes.
Yeah.
Was.
Well.
Poor guy.
Yeah. But, like, you know, and the Justice League trailer looks pretty cool. Like, I thought, you know, Grant Gustin does such a good job as Barry Allen, but this guy seemed to be pretty cool. I enjoyed the little bits I've seen of this other guy.
See, you know, I completely agree, but it also makes me more confused. Because I also really like this guy, and I think it does a pretty good job of playing a nerdy, quirky guy like Barry would be. The problem is he isn't playing it. Like, we were told that they needed a different actor because this new actor was going to play the role differently than Grant Gustin would. But, like, I don't, like, from what I've seen, and it's just the trailer, so don't get a whole lot, but he doesn't feel like a significantly different enough character for that excuse to still be holding true.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm fine with them casting a different person, and honestly, like, they want to have their TV universe separate from their movie universe, and I think that's a good idea, because their TV universe is already super fucking convoluted. So to try and line that up with the movies would be insane. So I agree with that decision, but, like, they were first like, well, it's a different character, so we're going to come at it from a different whatever. I'm like, no, you're not. It's still Barry. Just say you don't want him to cross over, and it's fine.
But I think the thing that's fine, too, about it is that the audiences for the TV show and the movie are going to be different. There's going to be some crossover, certainly, but for the most part, I think it's going to be different audiences, you know?
Yeah. And I love that Wonder Woman seems to be the de facto leader from the trailer.
Yes.
Which is like, yeah, A, most powerful, B, probably with the most experience. Makes a lot of fucking sense. The last piece from Comic-Con that I thought was interesting is they said that the Captain Marvel movie is going to be set in the 90s. It's going to be a period piece, which, by the way, grown up in the 90s, the idea that the 90s can be a period piece seems crazy to me, but yeah, that was 20 years ago.
No, I still contest that. I contest it.
But it's interesting from the perspective of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, because that means that Captain Marvel will predate Tony Stark and all of the other Avengers. So she will have been she will be one of the most experienced people in the team, or in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I guess you could say Thor has been fighting for Asgard for millennia or whatever, but in terms of as a superhero in this Marvel Universe, she'll have been one of the first on the scene.
Well, I think she's gonna be mostly in space, I think.
Which would be awesome.
Like, that's how they're gonna, I think that's cool, but I think that's how they're going to say, okay, that's why Captain Marvel's not around, because she is in space.
Mm.
And then that's going to tie right in beautifully with them Guardians of the Galaxy. And then we get that Infinity War.
Dude, I can't believe they're doing the Black Council or whatever they're called, because those guys are a really new addition.
Yeah, I don't even know what those are.
There's like some, if you look at the posters, Thanos has some minions that are like aliens, and they're a recent addition to the Marvel comic book universe, and they're in the movie.
That's cool.
Which is kind of cool.
I like that. I mean, if it's a good story in the comics and you want to use it, I think that's awesome. Like, I think the Batman movies, they stick to the traditional villains, but I think that's kind of makes a lot of DC's franchise feel tired, is they've been making movies for so much longer than Marvel. And at a higher level than Marvel used to. So everybody, or not everybody, but almost everyone in our generation at least, saw the Michael Keaton Batman. Mm-hmm. And so we're carrying, not necessarily continuity, but that knowledge in our heads. And it's going to be really difficult to make the Joker feel fresh like a fourth time in Suicide Squad. So, like, I would love it if the next Batman movie was, like, The Court of Owls, which 95% of the moving-going audience will probably have never heard of before, but will be a really interesting and awesome and compelling story. Because I think I think you don't necessarily have to have familiarity with the villain. Like, Iron Man 3, for all its problems, Hammer was a good villain, and Whiplash was a good villain, too.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't think, like, it does not have to be Ironmonger and Loki. It can be The Court of Owls, like a newer unknown.
Yeah, I think the hero is what brings people into the theater, and the villain helps give the movie, like, staying power and make it compelling to the audience.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I totally agree with you, Andy.
Like, I remember in Winter Soldier, when they went down in the basement, and it was, oh, crap, what is the name of the guy in the computer?
Armin Zola.
Yes, and it's Armin Zola, and they, like, people realize it's in consciousness stored on tapes. Like, I was in that audience, and they, like, kind of, like, gasped. And I was like, that's awesome, because fucking nobody knows who the hell Armin Zola is. They don't even know how this is an adaptation of the comic book character. They just see the concept, get it, and think it's fucking sick. And that's all you need.
I knew.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's the thing, is, like, that kind of implementation for people like us, it's another level that's, like, that's awesome, but for everybody else, like, that's just a cool idea. Like,
no, that's, that's a compelling
villain.
I think it's awesome. Yeah. I totally agree.
Yeah. I'm excited, because, like, Comic-Con sometimes feels like a bunch of stuff I already knew, but this one is getting me re-excited for some of the superhero movies that I've been kind of burned out on the last few years. So I'm feeling good that I'm feeling good again.
Well, you know what I think is great about it, too, is we're getting... You know, I loved Iron Man. I loved Robert Downey Jr.'s Iron Man. I loved the Captain America movies and stuff. And what we're getting now, I think, is we're getting solo movies of characters who were minor. I mean, look at Black Panther.
Yeah.
That's going to be awesome. I mean, and even Thor Ragnarok. I mean, we've had two Thor movies, but we haven't seen the Hulk or Thor in a while.
Yeah.
I mean, we haven't seen either of them since Avengers 2, which doesn't seem like it was that long ago, but it was a while. It was a good amount of movies ago. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
I mean, maybe that'll probably be explained in the whole Hulk has been on Planet Hulk for a while.
Oh, man, like the whole vibe of that movie seems awesome. Yeah. Like
even down to the logo that looks super 80s Walt Simonson.
Yeah, I mean, like, the comedy's there. You know, the guy who directed Thor, I can't pronounce his name, Taika Waititi?
Cool.
he's a New Zealander. So he, I don't know if you guys have seen any of his other work, he directed this movie called What We Do in Shadows.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a mockumentary about vampires in New Zealand, and it stars Jemaine Clement from Flight of the Conchords.
Yeah.
And he's in it, Taika Waititi. And it's just like this really funny movie. And so when I heard he was directing Thor, like I thought, oh, I know who this guy is, and he's awesome, but this is also kind of, you know,
Thor.
I'm interested to see where this goes. I think the tone from the trailers is awesome. Like, the colors are bright. Thor and Hulk both look like they're having a lot of fun in the scenes where you see them together. So I'm super excited for this movie. I don't know if you guys can tell, but I'm pretty excited.
I love that, I love the ending of the trailer. Hulk is like Thor, more like smoldering fire. Hulk like raging fire.
Yeah.
It's both fire, but different.
Yeah, I love that they're giving Hulk some, like, lines.
Yeah, I like that they're smashing two really good stories together. a Gladiator Hulk on Pump 4, and I'm excited because it looks like it's going to be a really weird buddy film.
Yeah.
Which seems great. Yeah, I'm
And
I'm
holy super shit, pumped for it. Can't Kate Blanchett looks awesome.
Oh, Hela?
As Hela.
Yeah. So we're going to go to that one opening weekend, David?
Yeah.
I'm getting a babysitter.
I still haven't seen Spider-Man. Have you guys seen Spider-Man yet?
Nope. Keep hearing it's good.
I want to watch it, but I think my wife doesn't want to go see it because she has Spider-Man reboot fatigue. And mm-hmm. I don't. Like, I genuinely want to see the movie, but I just haven't built up the motivation to go see it. I've seen two other movies since Spider-Man came out. I saw War for the Planet of the Apes, which was pretty cool.
Oh, that one I remember. Woody Harrelson. I love the reboot.
Woody Harrelson was so good as the villain in that movie. And then I saw Valerian.
Yeah.
Which was pretty cool. I mean, it's not groundbreaking sci-fi in the way that Fifth Element was, but it's still very fun. It's a very fun movie. There's not, like, the story is kind of shallow. It's not very heavy, but it was still fun. I enjoyed it.
Yeah,
so,
that's what a lot of the reviews are saying too. And I'm probably gonna wait for, I'm really excited for Valerian, and I really like the new Planet of the Apes reboot universe. I think it's really good. I think it's been really good since the first movie was, The Rise of the Planet of the Apes was so fucking good. And from there, they've been, you know, they kind of been building on it and moving the story forward, but it's still good. But that first one was really, really good.
Yeah, they've done a great job with those movies.
Yeah, and Valerian I'm super excited for, but my wife's not so much, so I don't know about getting a babysitter to go and watch it, but Thor Ragnarok we will.
I think you don't need to see Valerian on the big screen.
Well, I mean, and I obviously can wait to have a 120-inch screen and
yeah,
home theater.
You have a big screen.
Stereo, yeah. I basically have a theater in my living room, so I can wait.
but you know, I enjoyed the movie. It got mixed reviews, so your mileage may vary. But I think you personally, Andy, knowing you, I think you'll enjoy it.
I enjoy the shit out of it. I'm pumped. Yeah. I could watch that trailer a dozen times. I think I did.
It was cool. I liked it a lot.
So 20 minutes in, should we talk about this week's comic?
Yeah. It's funny because you were like, what should we talk about for Witty Banter?
I know, and then I remembered Comic-Con happened, and 20 minutes later.
This week's comic.
This week we read Nova Corps. This was volume 4 of the 2007 series by Dan Abnett and Andy Lanning. This collects issues 19 to 22. And this we see Ego again, but not really Ego.
Yeah, I know. Ego is literally a backdrop.
This is fucked up, right? Because this is, I appreciate that with this we can kind of, I don't know, see how Ego is kind of changing over time. Like, when World Mind shows up in Ego, having basically overridden Ego's sentience, I felt bad for Ego, and nobody else did. I felt bad for Ego because my last memory of him is him giving the Wanderers a home. And, like, having just fighting for his survival against Galactus. So, like, for me, you know, I know he's a bad guy. And, like, I saw Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. I know he's a really bad guy. But I kind of felt for him. And I'm, like, even as a bad guy, you don't deserve that shit. I mean, that's how you get to Identity Crisis.
Yeah, they basically completely ignored the ethics of the fact that they lobotomized a sentient being.
Yeah.
And that was shitty. And he had, like, a really, really powerful goatee this time.
Yeah, he did.
So, I mean, I think they should treat him better just for that.
Just because of his impressive facial hair?
Yeah.
The best part is, you know that
see it?
You know that that's World Mind manifesting the facial hair, right?
Yeah.
Because it doesn't actually grow, because there's no way to shave it. So it's all just, like, Ego has to manifest it himself. So this is just World Mind going, you know what, Ego? You would look really fucking sick in a goatee.
Wait, but here's the thing. What if it's darker than that? What if it's not the World Mind? What if it's the last vestige of Ego's self that's being, like, repressed? So like, it's actually just, like, this last shred of personality in a being that is being enslaved. It's really dark, actually.
No, guys, what it is, is that when the Wanderers were there before World Mind came along, they were the gardeners, and it's just foliage, right? But now that the Wanderer, since World Mind kicked them out, there's nobody around to shave him.
No, I gotta say, I had to choose for the middle one, because obviously the first one we had to do Ego and Galactus, it just makes sense. And for the next one, that makes sense too, we have to do that one. But this one, I had to debate between doing this Nova Corps run, or doing the Marvel Zombies, where for some reason the Marvel zombie heroes are on a spaceship trying to find their way home, but they need brains and bioenergy on the way home. And they're coming across something about asteroids until they come across Ego, and they eat Ego and make it a zombie Ego.
Oh, God.
And I chose this because I thought that would be fucking stupid, but this is super fucking dark.
And there's, I think, like, I've read that Marvel Zombies thing you're talking about.
But there's, like, no winning in this. Like, that last panel, Richard Rioter is just like, fuck you. The writer's just like, not only did we take away your powers, your former allegiance is evil, the World Mind has gone insane, your brother's gone and is being mind-controlled, there's literally nothing you can do about it, because you're stuck on Earth with no powers. But not only that, for Shiggs, we're going to give you 2 days to live.
Yeah. It's like, by the way...
Why you gotta do that, Dan and Andy? Why you gotta do that? That's just being rough, man.
Well, spoiler alert. He doesn't die.
What?
Oh my god.
Because there's a whole other volume. At least one more after it. So I read this comic when it was being published. And I remember reading this stuff, but I don't remember what happened before. I mean, I remember the Annihilation stuff, and I assume when they're talking about the Skrull thing, they're talking about Secret Invasion. But I'm not 100% sure, because Skrulls kind of always show up.
Yes.
It's kind of their thing. And afterwards, there's this thing called War of Kings, which has very little to do with Nova. It's just that it has to do with outer space, so he's in it. But yeah. And then eventually he dies. He does die eventually, kinda. But because it's comics, he comes back.
Of course.
Yeah. Nobody really dies. I like also that in this one, so in the last issue, or in the last episode when we did the Stan Lee and Jack Kirby one, Ego is kind of a newer idea. But here, like, it's definitely like, okay, we have Ego and they have Mojo. And let's talk about how they're different. And I like that Richard Rioter basically turns to the panel and says, no, Mr. Grimm, I don't think anyone would be foolish enough to recruit a planet into the core. And he's got this big shit-eating grin that's totally out of place for the moment, but just like, Because that was my first thought when Ego shows up with that giant fucking, you know, cross on his head.
I believe it's a star.
Star, yes. He shows up with that thing on his forehead. I'm like, oh, great. That's who you recruited. We're just going to straight up steal Mogo.
Well, I mean, they do live inside him just like the Green Lanterns have done on many occasions.
But it is interesting, like, to think about how fucked up this is. It would be as if Owo was destroyed and the Guardians are looking for a new place to call home, so they just kind of come and, you know, take over Mogo.
So you're not really up on Green Lantern lore then, Andy? Because that literally happens.
I know.
But well, not the Guardians. Not the Guardians. Mogo's sentient.
Yeah. He invites them in.
Yeah,
yes, he is far, like, more consenting than Ego is.
The only part that you got wrong about that, Andy, is that the Guardians also died with Oa.
So it's really Hal Jordan who's in charge of the MOGO population plan.
The MOGOA.
Yeah, MOGOA.
MOGOA.
MOGIGO.
MOEGO, MO problems.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is fucked, man. This comic's...
But yeah,
I want to read the next trade to figure out how the fuck he gets out of this, because I don't know how much bigger of a hole you can put a character in.
I don't know. I want to just have it in my headcanon that, like, the next trade is just, like, his last 48 hours. He goes to the park, eats some ice cream, is a bit sad, and then he just dies. Just, like, leave it there.
It's pretty much like that, remember that movie with Queen Latifah where she thinks she's dying?
I fucking love that movie, Last Holiday.
Yeah, Andy knows.
I know, I'm, you know I know.
I know you know. That's why good, I felt comfortable saying it.
That's a good, fun movie, man.
It is, I've seen it.
It's uplifting.
Yeah, that should be the next trade, just like that.
The next trade is great.
And then Queen Latifah becomes the next Nova Prime.
I'm down for this universe. I'm so down.
So, we haven't really talked about this comic that much.
No.
What did, kind of have.
What did you guys think of the character of Rob Ryder?
Yeah. I don't know. That was kind of my thought on everyone here. Everyone is kind of shitty.
Well, it's really the World Mind's fault.
That's true, but you know, like, let me just say, like, Richard Ryder is not a good communicator, and I know, like, I guess the World Mind has gone crazy or something, that's the implication, but he is, like, throughout all of this comic, completely incapable of voicing any reason, like, any reason that any human would believe for all his problems. But you asked about his brother. And Rob he's actually far more tolerable than Richard in this, I would say. But he's also kind of the, like, the trope whiny brother nerd.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that.
I mean, he doesn't have much personality. He's just kind of, he jelly.
I mean, his biggest problem is he doesn't see his own talents for what they are and embrace them for the person that he is. Instead, he wants to be his brother, which is like, I mean, I kind of want to be your brother, too. I wouldn't mind being Richard Ryder a little bit.
Oh, but I thought you meant you wanted to be my brother.
I mean, that'd be kind of cool. But, like, God, that totally sidetracked me, David.
Sorry.
But, like, he's a legitimately smart guy, and I'm sure, like, He could probably ask what's your face out on a date. Like, it's for me, it's that trope of the more bothersome thing for me is the trope of being, oh, I'm the nerdy guy, so obviously the hot girl doesn't want me. The hot girl is also in a lab coat, Rob. The hot girl is also a nerdy motherfucker. Like, have you even tried asking? Like, you're an adult, obviously making a good wage, obviously pretty competent at your job. Like, give it a try. The worst thing she does is say no because I'm your boss. And that's inappropriate.
And then, yeah.
Then like, oh, cool, I understand that. All right, peace. Like,
and I mean, the implied trope, too, is like, oh, the nerd is always uglier than the handsome hero. But they look the same if you take off the glasses. So I don't know where they're going with that either.
Yeah. I think the best thing I got out of Rob as a character is Darkhawk. Being just a chill bro. I have no idea who Darkhawk is. But I like
the conversation. Another space guy.
Yeah, but I like the conversation in the beginning when he's like, you know, I'm kind of a hero, but I'm not in that class. Like, I'm totally lucid about the fact that I am, like, class C, and that's okay.
We don't have to be brother. It.
I like that. You don't see that too much. You see a lot more of, like, the new Warriors, where they're like, who wants to be the best? And who wants to be the new Avengers? And they're like, I want to be the new Avengers. That sounds cool. And I'm like, I just kind of want to do my job and go home. I don't really got to be the best. Like, going to my job, I don't want to be, like, the best Marcom writer in the world. I just want to get a paycheck. Which I guess.
Sell yourself short, Andy.
Which I guess, like, that's why. I mean, if you're going to go into superheroics, you probably have the drive to be the best of something.
But there's so many in the Marvel Universe, it's like, you're never going to be.
Yeah.
You're never going to be Captain America.
I do remember. We got to read some of the Geoff Johns Flash, or some more of it anyway. Because I remember there was a couple panels where Barry is going, or no, it's Wally. Wally's going to get his car fixed, and he catches the mechanic using a superpower to fix the car. And he's like, "Did I just see you do something there, bro?" And he's like, "You know, lots of people got powers. Some of them do stupid stuff, and some of them just get their job done." And he's like,
"Pretty awesome.
I got a power, so I'm a mechanic. Makes my job easier, and I go home and I get a good paycheck." I'm like, "Yes, that makes perfect sense, because if you look at the rate of like superheroes in the world, there has to be a good number of people out there with powers who just like chill with them, who like use them to levitate the remote over to them in the afternoon."
Dude, there's this anime, shonen anime that came out recently in the last couple of years called My Hero Academia. And that's literally what it is. Like, everybody in the world has a power, but they can't all be superheroes because some of them just aren't conducive to superheroics. So, like, the main character's mom literally uses her power to, like, bring the TV remote to her in the show.
That's fucking great.
It's good. It's a good show. I watched, like, the first 5 or 6 episodes. It's pretty funny. But, yeah. That literally happens in that anime.
That's fucking great. I love that. So I wonder, like, at what point the brainwashing, I guess it was a slow thing, like when World Mind was crazy the whole time, because he says he's been planning this for months, and that he's been using that. I guess you could say that's the other telltale sign, is he said that he was using Richard's body while Richard was asleep, like taking control of the body to go and recruit people. I guess that's like, if he feels comfortable with that, lobotomizing ego is not a big jump.
Yeah. Although it's hard to tell. I mean, he says he's been doing it for months, so the assumption is that he's been crazy for months, but then you have the flip side of it where Richard's being a complete asshole about rebuilding the core. And, like, I think they throw in, like, a little line about how he has some trauma over someone dying and that's why he can't do it. But I don't know. Like, it's not rational, and it makes a lot of sense at first why World Mind would want to rebuild the core, because that's kind of his whole thing. So, yeah. So it's hard to tell. Like, I think the implication, story-wise and like canonically, is he's supposed to have been crazy the whole time, but from this trade, it's actually hard to determine that.
Yeah, because the first 5 that get recruited seem like they're really good. So, like,
yeah.
I don't see anything crazy there. Like, at that point, I do see, like, Richard just holding on to the control or being too nervous or scared to do what needs to get done. Like, I think about, and obviously, I think you have to think about the parallels to Green Lantern and Kyle Rayner. And Kyle was like, "I will do whatever I have to do to get some of this responsibility off my plate." He was like, as soon as Ganthan tells him that it might be possible to rebirth a couple Guardians, he, like, runs off and does it ASAP. And then when the reborn Guardians tell him, "You know, we might be able to make some more rings," he's like, "Let's fucking do that right now, guys. Let's get it done. I don't want to do this anymore."
The difference with Richard Rider is that he's been Nova for years. And Kyle Rayner was relatively new to the position, you know?
That's true. He basically started out as Nova Prime.
Well, he was the only Nova that he knew of for a while, I think. And he operated on Earth.
Yeah, he was Teen Nova, right?
Yeah, he was part of the New Warriors.
Yeah, that's right.
But then eventually he went into space and, you know, started doing space stuff.
And realized how misled he was.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's still, I mean, with Kyle, the introduction's a little bit different. Some little alien shows up and tells him, "You're their last hope. Here, have a ring. Bye."
Like, in an alley.
Like, right after he threw up, too.
Oh, man.
I mean, yeah.
I love Kyle. Such a good character.
And I
mean, he's great.
Kyle Rayner's the best. It is understandable that after seeing the entire Nova Corps get destroyed in Annihilation, that he would be really upset, but they don't draw that out. Like, and I think a lot of the character development is Richard going like, oh yeah, this must be how my parents felt, which is kind of like, but it's like a throwaway line once or twice. Yeah. So. Yeah, I don't know. I don't find it. I find this comic unbelievable. It is not realistic. Because all the others are.
Yeah. I mean, there's some stuff that's interesting, too. Like, when, I mean, before the scene that you just talked about, when his dad is driving him to the lab.
Yeah.
And his dad's like, how many times have you saved me personally? Okay. How many times have you saved the Earth? The least I could do is drive you upstate. Like, that interaction's interesting. But also, from Richard's perspective, and Richard's like, it's like just using my feet and moving around in the world as a regular person feels clunky, feels difficult, feels slow. Like, that's really an interesting commentary, because we don't often get the superhero who loses powers and talks about what it's like just to move through the world again. Like, most of the time you get the melancholy, oh no, I don't know my identity anymore kind of bullshit. And Richard doesn't seem to have that. Richard's like, well, lost my powers, I guess I'll just go to my day job. Help out my brother. You know, like, he doesn't seem super, super melancholic about it. But he is introspective about what it's done to him as a person and how it's different to live. And that's awesome, because it's not something you read much of. You almost always get the melancholy junk.
Yeah, I mean, he's not even super emo about it. He has melodrama. Right, like, he gets dumped naked in his backyard, and he's like, why me?
And you then know why, bro.
But, yeah. But then, like, he actually is better in this regard than a lot of superheroes we see who, like, you know, leave behind the cape, because he just is like, okay, I got this problem, I'm gonna go to people, and they're gonna help me figure it out. And that's actually not something I think that you see. There's a lot of, like, self-pity in Cape mm-hmm. comics. And I mean, he does actually take action that's effective to solve the problem, so that's good.
Well, and I like that the first thing he does is go to make sure he's not actually insane. Like,
yeah.
Maybe he's right. Maybe I did go crazy. Maybe I am acting dumb. Let's run some tests and see if I, like, maybe the problem is with me. Like, just that level of thought, like, no. I don't see that happening in 80% of other heroes.
Yeah. You know, I'm reading through the scene where he's like, oh, I'm not crazy. And the timing's actually really weird, because they lock Rob and the other the Nova Rigelian. Centurion. Yeah, the Rigelian, in a room with an isolation field. And then he pops out and he's like, it's official, I'm not crazy. But isn't this the test to see if he's crazy?
No, I think that the test was to see how, once they realized that Richard wasn't crazy, that it must be the world mind doing something.
Okay.
So they were separating them from the world mind.
Okay, so he's not just, like, preempting it, being like, I'm not crazy, because obviously you're controlled.
Right.
Okay. Well, that's good. I just misread it.
Yeah. It's hard to talk about ego in this one.
Yeah.
Sorry, what were you going to say?
I wonder what happened to the Wanderers. Where'd they go?
Mm.
You know, I'm going to look that up while Jen says what she was going to say before
I
cut her off.
I was just going to say, we should discuss the art, because this comic has a lot of faces. I mean, like, oh man, did the faces not get to you? Because everyone's grimacing all the time.
Yeah.
And sometimes they're wall-eyed while they do it.
And there's some really awkward poses, too.
They're trying to hold in their Nova Force. It's like holding in a fart, probably.
Okay, that's a good canon.
Or maybe not. I don't know. I'm just making that up because it sounded funny.
But the scene.
Oh God!
What?
Okay, so the Wanderers. Sorry, this is fucked up. The Wanderers were in Thor 160 and 161, and they didn't show up again until Fantastic Four 235, and then Fantastic Four 517 to 519. All right, so they came back for like four issues of Fantastic Four, and the wiki page sums it up in one line. So the Wanderers agreed to settle in Ego to live out the rest of their lives, right? But this is what you get from Fantastic Four. However, this turned out to be a cruel jest on the part of Ego the Living Planet. As soon as Thor departed, he consumed the Wanderers.
Wow. What the fucking
Since
asshole.
Then, another group of Galactus survivors have banded together calling themselves. So there is another group of the Wanderers, but those guys that we saw in the Thor comic, as soon as Thor leaves, he fucking eats them.
That's amazing.
What an asshole.
That's fucked up, man.
What an ego on that guy.
Like, they were trying so hard just to... and they were talking about how they survived. They're some of the first victims of Galactus, so they've been out there in fucking space forever. And they finally think, oh my god, that is fucked.
Well, and Ego basically said, hey, bros, I'm totally not like Galactus. Yeah. It's different with me. Just kidding.
I got your back, guys. Fuck that guy.
Just kidding. I'm exactly the same. See, Galactus ate your planet. I'm going to eat you.
I am all down with World Mind doing what he did now. Lobotomize the shit out of this guy, please. Oh my god. That is terrible. Damn, comics. Hold on, I gotta see who wrote those issues. Was that Stanley and Jack Kirby coming back and saying, you know what, fuck those people. Who wrote these? Sorry, you were saying something and I just completely ran into it with this stuff. Who wrote and did these? John Byrne did that.
Oh.
Sick burn, John.
Burn. God, David, you are just on the dad jokes today. Like, for real.
Okay. And then Mark Wade later on picks up the idea of the survivors of Galactus, but it's not tied into that original group. So... there are more survivors of Galactus. They just don't call themselves the Wanderers, and they're not that group. But okay. That was not... Not all of the survivors of Galactus got eaten on Ego. There were others who survived. And Mark Waid was like, I'm going to save some of you.
No.
But John Byrne was fucking killing them all. That was like a footnote. Jesus.
I mean, they were, like, side characters.
Yeah. Yeah, but yeah. I like them, and then... Ah, it's fucked.
So, I have a question. When you become a Nova Corps Centurion, does it actually affect your physiology? Does it change your body?
I don't know.
Because if you look at Rob Reiner in the art, he starts skinny, and then the moment he puts on the suit, he's hella buff.
I think it's just the suit.
Okay.
It's like one of the suits that has effects drawn on.
It's inflatable arms. He's like...
Yes. Must be inflatable arms.
I mean, the Lantern suit does the same thing.
Does it, though?
A little bit, not as much. And I mean, I don't know. The thing with the Green Lantern ring is it literally can do anything so long as you will it. So... if you will yourself to be a more buff individual, it will, like, enter your bloodstream and make you buff. Like, it can do that. So I guess you really could change your own physiology with your Lantern ring. No problem. I don't know how the Nova Force works, though.
Well, they have a magic helmet. It's different.
It's very different. I love how, like, it's cloth or something. It took me so long to figure out what happened there, like... it looks like he's holding a rag, and then poof, helmet. Took me way too long to figure out that that's what was happening. He just, like, had it shoved in his back pocket.
It's space magic.
Yeah. It even has a sound effect. He's just like, bloop.
Is it really bloop?
No, it's flick, actually. But it's weird because he like pulls it out of his pocket and then he like is just holding it in his palm in a way that you would not hold a helmet ever.
Yeah.
Like, he manifests it like a magician or something. I don't know.
Yeah, the other part of this comic that I really appreciated was the last issue, the quote unquote rapture, as the comic was titled. It starts off with the police officer playing basketball with the kids, and it's like, yeah, I buy it. That guy would be a good centurion. Yeah, send him on up. Sounds good. And then they like get to the lifeguard, and it's like, she's just, you know, doing her weak job, but she does it pretty good. And now she's gone, so those kids are going to drown. And I'm like, what? How did we get here?
In the grand scheme of galactic peacekeeping, some kids in Australia are no big deal, apparently, to World Mind.
But I like that part of the issue, or in that part of the trade, because it built into that slowly. Like, at first, it had me agreeing with it, and then I was like, hold up, now I agree with Richard. Something's wrong here. It was nice. It was sneaky. I think she'll be a good centurion, though. She'll be fine. I mean, what happens to all these people? Do you take the power away? Because then they all die in 48 hours.
No. I don't think... No, Richard got sick because he had, like, all of the Nova Force inside of him.
Right, like, I get that, but if you're going to set up this precedent of being that fucked up to your main character, you should be fucked up to all the people that don't matter, too.
Well...
But World Mind doesn't like him anymore.
Yeah... I'm saying, go.
You can't make being a centurion just, like, a death sentence.
You're a centurion until you die, and if you stop being a centurion, it kills you.
Yep.
Well, that's what they do in the DC universe with the Lantern Corps. There's a bunch of planets who hate the Lanterns because they believe that once you become a Lantern, it's a death sentence.
I mean, it kind of is.
It kind of is. And I don't know. I mean, how
unless you're a Green Lantern from Earth, or you're Kilowog, you're gonna die.
Yeah, Kilowog, Mogo,
or the Fly.
Bzzzt. Bzzzt, yeah.
Or Nort.
Yeah, well,
people just want him to die.
Nort is special.
Well, he's the Jar Jar Binks of DC Comics.
Yeah.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah. Not much more sad about him. I got nothing else. Did you guys want to rate this?
Sure. All right.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. David, how about you go first?
Okay, you know, this is kind of weird to rate because, you know, it's like in the middle of a run.
Yeah.
So there's a bit of a barrier to entry. But I think it's pretty okay. I'm gonna give it a 2.5. Yeah, let's give it a 2.5. It's right middle of the road. As far as an ego comic is, it's not an ego comic at all. So if you're looking for ego, you could skip this. Read the Marvel Zombies one that Andy was talking about earlier.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
No, it's okay. It's not a criticism against you. I'm just saying that, you know...
Look elsewhere.
It's okay, you know. It's like a little... It's a comic. It's not yeah. Really bad.
That's what 2.5 is supposed to be.
Yeah, so 2.5.
I'll go next. I'm gonna give it a 3. I feel like, you know, like you said, David, we never really do like volumes mid run. And I think because usually we consider it to be more of a barrier to entry and you kind of come into it expecting having known what happened. But I think this one is fairly straightforward. Like, you get the, you get the Marvel summary page at the beginning, tells you the score, like the Skrulls are gone, and he's Nova Prime, and he doesn't need to be anymore, so what's gonna happen? I don't know. And you know, people talk about stuff, but if it doesn't matter, you can just kind of roll right through it. And this storyline, like, kind of seems to start here, more or less, and cool. And I didn't know much about the Nova Corps or Nova Prime or Richard Rider, but I was able to get along just fine and have a good time reading this comic. So I'm going to give it a 3 for that. But I will say, I'm willing to bet Volume 5 I wouldn't be able to do that. Like, here's our protagonist. He has 2 days to die, and he was fucked over by the world mind. I'm going to be like, what the hell does that mean? I don't know. So yeah, Volume 4 gets a 3, because I imagine this is a tough thing to do. Develop a story midway through an arc and have it be something I can just jump into. That's like the goal of comics, is to have that jump in story where you can hop in, you know, mid run and have a good time reading. And they did it. So 3. I'm gonna ignore the art altogether. Ego looked cool. Yeah, other than that, I'm gonna ignore it. Jen, how about you?
2.5. And I'm bumping it up for the reason you said, like, it's actually really nice that we were able to go into like a random run midway through and, you know, get a story. It's a really freaking goofy story, and no one in this story has endeared themselves to me. They're all kind of jerks. Cause it seems like it would be so simple to solve their problems if, like, Richard didn't have, like, this massive personality defect.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, I liked the Ego art, and the rest of the art was a thing. you know, like, just a lot of these facial expressions are really wacky, and sometimes, like, people's pupils are missing from their eyes. That's a little weird, and I don't know, it's just, no bueno, but... I commend them for making a story that you could just pick up and start reading. It's just like the craziest melodrama. So 2.5.
See, for me, the art got really wonky when it was the New Warriors hanging out at their old pad.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like a frame where they're kind of sitting apart. And then the very next frame, it's like the next sentence, the next logical sentence. But somehow they're like sitting next to each other, kind of cuddled up.
Yeah, on the floor. And
yeah, and I'm like, what?
That's actually the one where he's missing his pupils as well.
Yeah, I don't know. That maybe something weird happened there, but I was like, this movement doesn't make sense. And then I hated that they beat up the security guys. Like, you motherfuckers are trespassing. You should not be here. You don't own this building. Get the fuck out. And then they beat them up. Like, I didn't have any sympathy for them.
Yeah.
I was like, fine, Richard, you can have your powers removed. I guess that's why they needed to have him be dead in 2 days, because then I was like, you don't deserve to die, though.
Because the punishment is actually just otherwise.
I mean, not bad. Oh. Otherwise, he's been kind of a dick, so sure, don't have your powers. I think I would have been more satisfied with the ending of this trade if... Like, the world mind left with everyone, except for the brother. Like, I would love if this comic ended with the Nova Corps and the world mind being insane and out in the galaxy doing what it thought was good. But the fact that Rob Reiner is involved means that Richard needs to go save his brother and needs to stop this from happening. But I would love it if just the ending was, well... There's literally nothing I can do about this to stop him, and okay, bye. And there's just this crazy force out in the universe, but because it's the brother, you know, you have to go, and he's going to die in 2 days, so he obviously needs Nova Force back, otherwise he's going to die. It's like, there's a lot more call to action immediately for him, like, okay, this trade cannot end that way, but part of me was like, dude, that'd be sick if all of a sudden the World Mind and the Nova Corps are insane. But still doing good, but in, like, all the wrong ways. That'd be interesting. And then they run in with the Guardians of the Galaxy. That'd be neat. So I might...
That would be cool.
We've been giving this, like, a 2.5 or a 3, but I'm going to read the next trade just to see what happens, because I don't know how you dig out of this hole. I don't know how, and I want to find out.
So the next trade is subtitled War of Kings, and that's kind of a... It's a smallish event in Marvel, so keep that in mind when you read it.
Okay. I mean, it's all on Marvel Comics Unlimited, so I'll just, like, fucking, I'll read it on my lunch break tomorrow. It'll be good stuff.
Yeah. I don't remember exactly what, how it involves Nova, but, yeah.
Yeah. We'll see. Anyway, that's it for this week. Next week, we're going to read Astonishing Thor by Robert Rohde. This was a 5-issue miniseries, I think. And this, this is the finale of our Ego series. And this one, Ego, is going to meet Alter Ego.
Yes.
It's going to be so dumb, and I can't wait. So, yes, next week is going to be Astonishing Thor. That's episode 298. If you want to listen to any of our previous new 296 episodes, go to welcometocomics.com. On the left, click on the button that says future, or past shows, and you can listen to anything from way back when. You can also click on the tab that says future shows, and it'll tell you what we have coming up past episode 300. And you can also go to Patreon from there, or go to patreon.com/welcometocomics, support the show, get access to bonus content, mostly the little filler stuff before and after the episode that we just kind of sit around and bullshit on. But yeah, just go become a patron, show us that you like us, as little as a penny, you get access to everything. Also go to iTunes, rate, review, subscribe, all that kind of stuff. It really lets other people know that we exist and to give us a listen. But yeah, next week, Astonishing Thor with Alter Ego. Hallelujah. Until then, everybody, goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.